RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid, from a special broadcast coming to you from Spain's biggest contemporary art fair, Arco.
We are in pavilion number 9 of the IFEMA complex north of Madrid, a complex that has been taken over by 200 art galleries from all over the world.
Last year's edition was the most successful since the pandemic, bringing the fair back to its pre-pandemic numbers, and what we've seen so far of this year's fair certainly looks promising.
The fair's main axis is the galleries that fall within the general program, which is selected by the main committee. It also includes an opening section featuring young galleries, and another section titled Never the Same Latin American Art is the continuation of a long history between Arco Madrid and Latin American art.
In today's special broadcast, we have help from sound technicians Ivan Rosado, Victor Rovira, and Luis Pendón, production help from Cristina Dorado, and MJ García is on social media.
This year's fair central theme is the Caribbean. The shore, the tide, the current, an oceanic Caribbean is the name of Arco's central program, curated by the art historian Sarah Hellman and curator of the Museum of Contemporary Art Chicago, Carla Acevedo Yates.
Carla was kind enough to speak with us ahead of the fair's opening about how she and Sarah Hellman approached the project.
So Sarah Hellman and I really wanted to have a different approach to the Caribbean. Last year, Arco approached the Mediterranean as a sea. And of course, like the proposal from the fair was to speak to the visualities and the artistic production that surrounds the Caribbean Sea. But we wanted to really expand that conversation and present the Caribbean as oceanic, not only because of its relationship to the Atlantic Ocean, but also because of its connection to the Pacific Ocean through the Panama Canal. And that opens up a lot of, you know, questions and thinking around the colonial history of the Caribbean. Of course, thinking about U.S. interventionism in Central America and the Caribbean through the construction of the Panama Canal, but also the Atlantic Ocean as a political body and a body that tells so many stories about migration, colonial context, but also all different types of relationships that the Caribbean has to other continents.
The central program centers on three metaphors, the shore, the tide, the current. But Carla mentioned that through their selection, they hope to tackle the themes of colonialism, climate change, and migration. How can that be channeled throughout?
For the project, we selected 19 galleries and in total 23 artists that speak to this expanded notion of the Caribbean that is both connected to the Atlantic and to the Pacific Ocean, and that, like you said, is dealing with histories of colonialism, of environmental extraction, of geopolitical exchanges, and so on. And some of these artists we have relationships with. I've worked with some of the artists presented here at Arco in my institutional position at the MCA in previous exhibitions. So both of us, Sarah Hellman and I, have relationships with most of the artists that we are presenting. And they're not only from the geographic Caribbean, meaning what we know as the islands of the Caribbean, but also it's inclusive of its diaspora. So there are artists that of Caribbean heritage that live in Europe, for example, but also the United States. And there's also a gallery from Panama. So we're really making that connection with Central America and expanding even the conversation to the Caribbean coast of Mexico.
Now, this is a contemporary art fair. How exactly would you describe the art that comes from the Caribbean right now in the current context?
Right, and I think that is an interesting and important question. I think that the Caribbean is an impossible place to define, and its artistic production as well is really ungraspable in the sense that you can't really summarize it into a couple of sentences. So we want to present the diversity of this expanded region through different types of artistic production, like ranging from like sculpture, drawing, painting, video, and so on. So it's really not about, presenting like one single vision or even artists that can define the Caribbean or can illustrate it through their work, but really thinking about how complex the region is and how identity itself is really complex.
Carla, we talked about how exactly the Caribbean is set up here at the Arco Fair.
So we worked with three architects led by Ignacio González Galán, who is from Spain but based in New York City, very closely to explain the concepts of the Oceanic Caribbean and the three metaphors that we're working with through this project. And they came up with a really interesting experimental architecture that is meant to replicate some of these moving currents. So visitors have a chance to really navigate the space in the way that ocean currents move around the Caribbean and are in connection with these larger bodies of water. But also through the materials, the architects worked with two different types of rugs that cover some of the walls of the architecture, and they resemble these skins that are kind of peeling off from the space. So the works are nestled between these different folds of colored rugs, like a pink color and a red color, that are meant to think about, the sort of body of the Caribbean, like ideas around circulation and skin. So really relating it to a really important metaphor around the body and how important that is to think about in terms of the Caribbean.
We're going to talk to two of the galleries included in this Caribbean program and one of the participating artists, the Enrique Faria Gallery from New York and the Embajada Gallery from Puerto Rico. Artist Gabriela Torres Ferrer will also be joining us. But first, a song from a Caribbean artist to set the mood.
Bella, de mi tierra santa, oigo ese grito de los tambores y los timbales al cumbancha, y ese pregón que canta un hermano que de su tierra vive lejano, que el recuerdo le hace llorar, una canción que vive entonando de su dolor, de su propio llanto, y se le escucha penar.
We now have with us at the RNE stand here at Arco, Enrique Faria, owner of the Enrique Faria Gallery in New York, one of the participating galleries in this year's Caribbean program. Now, first of all, is this your first time at Arco?
No, it isn't. We have participated in the fair for over 15 years, maybe, or 14 years, something like that. I don't remember the exact number of times, but we're not latecomers. We've been around for some time.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we said before, this year's main theme is the Caribbean. You're, of course, a New York gallery. So how do you fit into all of this?
Well, first of all, the gallery, even though it is based in New York, at some point we had a branch in Caracas, and we have a sister gallery in Buenos Aires. So we are part of Latin America, but we're based in New York. And I'm Venezuelan. The Caribbean is named after the tribes that inhabited Venezuela in pre-Hispanic times, the Caribes. So, and representing mainly Latin American artists, it makes sense that we are part of it.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly did you approach your participation in this Caribbean-themed program?
Well, as a member of the Committee of Arco, I sort of knew about it ahead of time. So I knew that there was something around the subject of
something
the Caribbean,
the
you know, being talked about and in the works, I guess. And then I found out that the curators of the section were Sara Herman and Carla Acevedo Yates, whom are both dear friends for a long time. So we met up and started talking about it. And since we work with, as I said, you know, artists who are part of the Caribbean or the Caribbean cultural
landscape,
of course, mm-hmm. It just made sense for us to be a part of it. And on a side note, I remember that the first thing I told Sara Herman was, you know, you cannot do something about the Caribbean without Quisqueya Enrique's Caribbean ice cream. Because it's about the flavor that the Caribbean has. It's about, you know, the saltiness of the Caribbean. It's about the spice that we people from the Caribbean bring into the cultural scene. So, you know, and then working with certain people whose countries are touching the Caribbean, then we began a conversation. Mm-hmm. And thus, you know, Esving, Valerie Brathwaite, who happens to be from Trinidad and Tobago and has lived in Venezuela for a long time, and then Emilia Scarate, who had lived at some point of her career in Trinidad as well and did a piece about the Trinidadian carnival, and it just simply one thing led to another, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. We actually saw that piece, the carnival piece. That's what you have here in the exhibit here in Arco, right?
Correct.
It's a beautiful piece
on the floor. Yeah.
And it's just all of these different kinds of fabrics, and it really does feel festive.
Yeah, it looks very, very colorful. Mm-hmm.
It is, because it's about what remains after a festivity.
Exactly.
So all the things that people are wearing, all the things that people drop, all the things that fall off their costumes, she picked them all up and made this collage of Caribbean things,
That's
you know, that are glittery and colorful and relate to music and, you know, to the mixture of things that happen in an island like Trinidad. You know, you have people from all sorts of walks of life that live there, so it just makes sense because the Caribbean is exactly that, a meeting place.
And it's fun that you should mention the ice cream. That's also right at the entrance of the Caribbean area, and we tried it before. I didn't know it existed. It's just cold, salty. It was blue. It was beautiful.
There you go.
It looked beautiful.
It's like the Caribbean. It's salty, and it's blue, and it's fresh, and it's lovely, basically. So.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect to get an ice cream out of the Caribbean water, but it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it took a lot of effort.
And it was fresh.
Yes, you know, with true water from the Caribbean. So, you know, we're happy to be part of it. I think it's important also to include some countries whose artists were never included before in Arco, and you know, it's about inclusion, it's about diversity, it's about you know, a variety of things. So it's smack in the middle of things that are very important these days. You know, the plurality that is basically part of everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Carla Acevedo Yates mentioned that a lot, that that was really important for them when they were curating the whole program. And yeah, it's great. We saw everything you had brought and it was really, really beautiful, very colorful. So thank you so much for coming by and joining us
here. It's my pleasure, and I invite everyone to stop by Arco to not only enjoy the Caribbean part of it, but the entire fair that this year is looking amazing. And thank you both for inviting me to have this chat with you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, always.
Now we are joined by Embajada, Christopher Rivera, owner of the gallery, and Gabriela Torres Ferrer, the artist. Thank you so much for joining us here in Arco.
Thank you for the invitation.
For having us, yeah.
Well, first of all, I wanted to ask you, is this your first time in Arco?
Actually, the last time that I participated in the fair with the gallery, in the Young Section Gallery, Gabriela was part of it, but it was right, it was on 2020.
A group show, right?
Yeah, well, it was a two-person presentation at the fair, but it was right at the moment that 2 weeks later, everything closed down, so yeah. So it's technically it's our fourth time participating at the fair, the first time we did the closed-door meetings that they used to do back in the day, and then two times in the project section, and now in this Caribbean region section.
So how exactly did you approach this Caribbean section idea?
Yes. First of all, we were invited by Carla Acevedo Yates, which has been a good friend for a long time and admires our program. And we have worked together in different projects. But she was looking forward to work for the first time with Gabriela. She's been an admirer of Gabriela's work. And I think also she wanted to create a different lens of what the Caribbean offers rather than just palm trees and beach. So I think Gabriela offers that because when you see Gabriela's work, you don't necessarily connect her with the Caribbean. But definitely the Caribbean and being in a colony of Puerto Rico has a deep influence on her practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were going to ask you about that because, of course, Christopher, you brought Gabriela to Arco. But Gabriela, what is your connection with the theme?
With the theme, I mean, you know, I am very Caribbean, even though, you know, immediately the appearance is maybe not. But yeah, I lived in Puerto Rico for 30 years of my life, so I don't feel from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I would say that I started out art making wise, I started out, the context definitely influenced me a lot. You know, with all this, you know, this particular context, that the colonial pursuit was very present on me, and, you know, the material reality of Puerto Rico, this, like, territory that never got independence in the Americas till the present day, and it's just, like, you know, second wave of invasion, and now we're a territory of the United States. So, yeah, that definitely influences me, and how else... that my art making initially started out like point or referencing very specific things about like Puerto Rico, let's say. But then as I like developed and grew up a bit, I started like understanding more systemic things that are linked to many other places. And yeah, I'm there now. Maybe that's why. And maybe that's why, you know, I'm not immediately, like, stereotyped as, like, oh, you're Caribbean artist, because I don't have beaches or coconuts. I do have coconuts in some ways, but I think that's also important to transcend those cliches.
We were walking around, we saw the stand, and we saw some mirrors, so if you could tell us a little bit about what you're trying to, to
represent with that. So this series is called Be Real, and
like
I wanted to...
app? Like the app? Perhaps named after the app? the Be Real app?
No, I mean, yes and no. No. I mean, it's ironic because the app, you know, I've grown out a bit from the digital artist label because initially I was like very into digital art and I was defined as that, but I understood that, you know, the digital sphere is like a mirror of real life, and I started understanding like the bigger power structures that rule the bigger thing and not be like so narrow-minded into something, into this digital thing, and think about it in a vacuum. So I like expanded and understood like the bigger power dynamics, and that the digital sphere is like a continuum of the real world.
Yeah.
And so going back to the theory is trying to approach self-reflection, but I'm trying to go deep in self-reflection in the sense of
the Sarah Schulman text, no?
Yeah, in the sense of like personal transformation contributes to collective liberation. So now I want to like look at you. Mm-hmm. And I'm deeply informed by Sarah Schulman's book called Conflict is Not Abuse. Mm-hmm. Conflict is Not Abuse, Community Responsibility, the Duty of Repair and Overstating Harm. And in that book, basically, she delves deep into what is conflict and what is abuse. She focuses on conflict, and that is that conflict is ubiquitous. And in order to have a healthy community, you need to have like proper tools to deal with conflict. Because if you cannot solve a conflict with a friend, how the hell are you gonna like, you know, delve into deeper, bigger efforts for peace or liberation? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the premise. And that was what I was trying to condense in my work, you know, using mirror as, you know, this medium, and the forms are energetic, like these bubbles.
Yes, they're not square mirrors. You've got a mirror that's a bit spiky, one that's split down the middle. And
yeah,
sort
they're,
of
they're like speech bubbles, mm-hmm. and like, but with the intensity, you know, exclamation and thought, like the cloud one. And then the words, they are... they have, they're like prose suggesting and in critique mode, and you know, trying to push this conversation for deeper self-analysis and mm-hmm. self-reflection
mm-hmm. and then mirrors.
And different themes, you know, like am I even real, like some and like it has like a fairy with like fantasy, and the thing about being stuck in the past, like there's one that says like we can't go back anymore and like now, like, you know, like try to be present in the present and understanding like your present conditions, and you know, trying to not be stuck in something or trying to recall something from the past that is no longer relevant or here. And there's another that says like can't make it up anymore. Nothing wrong with me.
Yes.
Yeah. And like loathing sign.
I saw the loathing sign.
Yeah, yeah. And the other one, the one with the kitty that has this meme kitty is like crying like, I don't know the specific word, but it's like you are the meme. And it says like no image available. And that's like a reference for not having a proper self-image. Mm. And yeah, that's what Schulman's is trying to convey in the book to develop like
truthful. When is the Schulman's text from?
2014.
Okay, so just when selfie culture as well was
also
taking off,
it was on the rise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Now, before you were explaining about yourself and, you know, how you sort of fit into this specific theme and then what you were trying to represent, and I feel like it really did fit into what Carla Acevedo Yates told us about what she wanted the Caribbean part to be. She didn't want it to be just palm trees and coconuts. She wanted to have this plurality, all of these different energies
approaches
to just art in general. So now I would ask Christopher, as the gallerist, what is it about Gabriella's work that attracted you? And also, like, how did you two
Well, first I met Gabriela as a this person that was doing amazing things, and we it was a very, as with other artists from the gallery, it's a very organic relationship. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of friends in common from the punk scene, and you know, it was our first my first encounter with Gabriela's work. That it was a specific scene, that it was criticizing the state and the church in Puerto Rico, because it's a very doctrinates a lot how we think as a community, but also it was a zine that was criticizing the current governor. That's actually the governor that got ousted in 2019.
Okay.
In the summer of 2019.
So what year are we talking about, you two?
Well, we met actually around there, like I think, right? 2018, 19. That was the first time that we started collaborating. Our first collaboration, it came, my first like fair, it wasn't actually an art fair, it was a book fair. And then I invited him to collaborate with me in that book fair that they used to do a PS1 and MoMA PS1 in New York, and then organically we planned an exhibition. I was very attracted because Gabriela has been working with mediums that they're not the typical mediums of what you see are coming out in Puerto Rico, and so it got very attractive. Also, you know, like the way of him approaching materiality and things that I'm very attracted to. You know, I admire and love conceptual art. So it's very, you know, it has so much internal logic, and you know, it makes me think also of myself as a human being and the society that we're living in and the messed up of the current situations that we don't see to the simple eye. You know, that is the what is going on online and these mm-hmm. things that I've learned so much with him, specifically of how the, you know, like companies capitalize on our information, personal information and data, and things that I've been getting more and more into it and to learn more because of Gabriela. So, and it's been, I love, you know, I'm an artist myself doing galleries, and so it's we become like a, it's more like a collaborative effort towards like a common goal that is to present these ideas in a like unorthodox ways. That's what I admire from Gabriela. Plus we're mm-hmm. like we're friends, you know, we're good friends and we get along.
Well, have you guys been able to walk around Arco this year? How does it look?
Yes. The good thing about being part of a section like this is that it's not an actual booth. So I think there's some certain freedom to go around and not having to spend all day stuck in the booth. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's been great. I've seen a lot of friends and I've met new people and new artists that I didn't know. And I'm also looking forward to also spend some time outside Arco, seeing some museums as well.
All right. Well, Gabriela, Christopher, thank you so much for joining us in the English Language Broadcast. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you so much for your time and your invitation.
Yes.
Now, we are approaching the end of this special broadcast here at Arco, the Contemporary Art Fair in Madrid. We haven't mentioned it yet, but on the 8th of March, we also commemorate International Women's Day. And we would like to finish on theme with this song by Puerto Rican singers Ile and Evie Queen.
Cada vez que tiran los cañones se pone pesada mi artillería, todo el que me ataque lo devoro, como leona de cacería, ya me tienen las huevas hinchadas, si protesto me llaman subversiva, y sé que mi rabia te incomoda, porque sé que me prefieres compasiva.
This song is called Algo Bonito, Something Beautiful, and was included in the album Nacarile, released in 2022. The song is considered a feminist anthem as it includes lyrics like "If I protest, they call me subversive, and I know that my anger makes you uncomfortable because I know you prefer me compassionate," or "I care little about what they call me, I never believed that quiet I looked prettier."
Dime algo bonito, quiero escuchar algo bonito.
You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio with Amy Egan and Marilyn Quintana.
Today we've had help from sound technicians Ivan Rosado, Victor Rovira, Luis Pendón, and David Furones. Production help from Cristina Dorado and MJ García on social media.
We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts.
Más vale que las palabras lindas te rindan, o por mi descendencia y los ovarios que me guindan. Me importa poco de lo que me tildan, nunca he creído que calladita me veo más linda. Cuando escupo es como fuego y ácido, se ve que tu palabra o es como tu desfacido. Yo los mato rápido, el ritmo decapitó. Yo chambeo plazo automático. Yo nunca me la voy a dejar montar, si es grande tu ego, el mío de tamaño colosal, y la cobertura es intercontinental, lo que tu camino por la marginal. In the room, yes. Se soltaron ya las yeguas del campo, aquí no hay llanto, hablamos con encanto, me la sapura, hierba del campo, tengo el sofrito que te gusta tanto, y dime algo bonito, quiero escuchar.
Dime algo bonito.
Suavecito,
¿eh? Quiero escuchar algo bonito.